please take a few moments to notice your contact with the floor. Thank you. You know, most people think, you know, being an astronaut is it's science fiction. It's something in the future. It's a movie. Something they'll never experience. They just don't remember. Right? Because before you arrived, you were someplace where, you know, you were surrounded by fluid. And your experience of gravity was different. Not that you had escaped it. But you arrived here, and boy, was that a big change. Right? What a shock. The feeling of not having contact all around you. But here, like you're lying on the floor, you feel the back of yourself. And gravity, though it's an inescapable fact, is an escapable experience. Right? It's something that we, I don't know, it's a weird thing to say, perhaps we can distance ourselves from it. It's fundamentally a mystery, because unlike light and the waves that we call sound and the chemicals that make up smell, gravity is not something that we can sense directly. We only sense the consequences of it. So here you are on the floor, and you feel, I mean, how do you feel the floor? Do you feel the floor pushing up against you? Or do you feel yourself pushing down on the floor? Do you feel the floor holding you up? Or do you feel yourself being held up, being supported at the places where you touch? And what's it like, this, the experience of paying attention to your weightiness, right? To the sensation of the weight of your arms, the right one and the left one, the weight of your legs. If you pay attention to your trunk, your pelvis, your chest, and everything that's between, and your head. And when you listen to your weight, do you feel the weight, the contact of the floor from the outside, like at your skin, like where your clothes touch you in the back of yourself, where the mat is behind you? Or do you feel how you're pressing on your skin from the inside? Like the weight of your shoulders on your skin, the weight of your chest, or your head, or your heels. Or maybe you can feel how your skin and your muscles hang from your skeleton. They're supported by it. You don't have to do anything. Your skeleton's there. It's sitting on the floor. And everything, every part of you is either on top of or hanging from your skeleton. Well,
Yeah, it's also your skeleton is on top of the parts of you that are on the floor.
Take a moment to listen to your breath. I mean, literally, can you hear yourself breathe? Can you feel where the air comes in and where it goes out? Your nose, your nostrils, your mouth. And if it's your nose, do you breathe the same in the right side and the left? What happens inside your mouth and your throat when you breathe? Can you feel the movement of air in your head, in your neck, in your throat? And how about in your trunk? You don't have to do anything to breathe, right? But can you attend to, notice, follow the motions of breathing? What sensations of motion let you know that you're breathing? Where do you feel that? Below your throat, do you feel the movement of breath in your belly and pelvis, waist, lower back? Or do you feel it in your chest somewhere, your rib cage, behind your breastbone, front of your shoulders, the top of your chest, in your armpit? Not that you're moving or not moving, this is the places that you notice motion. And do you notice where it's easy or where it's restricted? Where there's something impeding the movement or where it happens without resistance? And can you put those sensations of where there's movement and in which directions those places are moving, like the, not just the place, but how it moves. So if there's movement at your sides, between your pelvis and your armpit, is that movement up towards your head or down towards your feet, back towards the floor, forward toward the ceiling, inward towards the middle of yourself or out towards the sides? Is it the same on one side and the other? Can you notice the rhythm, the length of breathing out? And the length of breathing in? Think about how that changes. Like when you're speaking, and you're talking for a long time and you don't really have to breathe in, well, you don't notice the breathing in, right? Usually you can just keep talking. But you have to breathe in at some point, but the length of breathing out is much longer than the length of breathing in.
or in your singing, or crying, or yelling. And the difference in that rhythm of that breathing compared to when you're going to sleep, or calmly telling someone a story. And is there a pause between breathing out and breathing in again? Is there a pause between breathing in and breathing out? Sometimes it seems like a catch, like a little and sometimes it's just a moment of quiet. How does it feel, the pause between? When you notice your breathing, the places you breathe, the directions in which you move, the timing of these waves in and out, can you put those together? Those different sensations, places and directions, rhythms, where you speed up, where you slow down, where the emphasis is. Do you get a sense of how it feels to breathe that way? When your feelings change, your breathing changes. Are you aware of how you're breathing when you're feeling sad or lonely or expectant or impatient, curious or interested, excited? How does the collection of sensations, the way they fit together, change as your feelings change? When does your breathing speed up? When does it slow down? When does it feel easy? And when does it feel restricted? Can you notice your breath? The places, the directions, the qualities and rhythms, and how they all fit together. And you notice your breath and your contact with the floor at the same time. Is the basket of your attention big enough to include all of that sensation? It's not about commenting on it or thinking about it or talking about it. It's not something that you notice standing outside yourself and looking at yourself. It's something I'm asking about from the inside out. To notice in these ways together. To notice yourself. So now would you change your position a little bit, bring your arms so that they're lying on the floor around your head, not touching your head, but your hands are somewhere on the floor to the right, left of your head. Your elbows are a little higher than your shoulders. And then, and if that's uncomfortable, you can get some pads and support your arms in that position or something close to that. Your hands support it. And your elbows support it. And then you can find somewhere of lying with your legs kind of like that, with your knees bent a little bit perhaps.
Just bend your knees a little bit. No, your feet are on the floor, and bend your knees a bit.
So instead of lying with your legs long, your knees are on the floor and your knees are bent a little, maybe to the outside. Is that possible? So lie on the floor with your knees bent a little. Just a little. A little. That's too much. Yes, there you go. That makes sense. Under there. There you go. So you can have support underneath your knees as well.
That's way too much.
Just a little bit. So your knees are bent a little bit and your feet are on the floor.
Oh, I see. Thank you.
So this is kind of more of a... way too much. So your legs are long and you bend your knees a little bit. Yeah, there you go. Just like that.
You can fold those if you need to.
Yeah.
I feel a strain in this area.
Yeah, so support your knees. Okay. There you go. Is that better?
It's not, I'm not relaxed.
Okay. Well, then bend your knees less. There you go.
Okay.
How's that?
Oh.
Yeah, so the idea is to be comfortable.
Yeah. So,
like that. I think we have some more. So what's it like to lie in this position? Yeah. And you can adjust it. Bend your arms and your knees less. Or more. That's your assignment. Okay.
You like Santa Claus?
Huh?
You like Santa Claus?
Yeah.
Bringing it.
For the moment. Hopefully not too much.
No, I didn't mean that.
Tells you that you're comfortable. Huh? One of those. Oh yeah, that's right here. And then come back and lie like an adult. So put your arms back by your sides and straighten out your legs or bend your knees. Notice the difference. I mean, it's how fundamentally different position. We have no shortage of pillows here.
No.
Larry, do you need more?
Larry, I would apply for these meditation.
Yeah.
Thanks.
One for each knee, perhaps?
Yeah.
Okay, I have more if you need more. So, can I come back to this kind of more babyish position? Your knees bent a little bit, your arms out to the side. I have more pillows, so please be comfortable.
Thanks.
Max Fly. Okay. And imagine here that you have a big, fat head. Really big, like twice the size of your head. Or one and a half times the size. And that would be close to being a baby, right? Really big head. And, you know, like I said, babies are born deconditioned. They're not born with muscle strength. So could you, let's do some movements here. And you can imagine, you know, what it's like for, you know, like you're moving like the way like you're sleepy. You know, you don't quite want to wake up, that kind of feeling. It doesn't have to be a bad feeling of being weak, but just like very lazy here. And slowly, just begin to slide your right elbow down a little bit. Leave your hand on the floor. You can move the pillows with you. If you want to move over the pillows, just slide your elbow a teeny little bit and come back. Now feel what it's like when you do that. Do you tense your arm when you slide your elbow down?
Yes.
Don't straighten your arm. Just pull the elbow down and let your arm be pulled. So do it a few times with your left arm. Bring your left arm down. Pull your elbow down. Let your hand be the passenger. Notice if you tense your hand when you bring your elbow down. What do you do with the fingers and the palm and the forearm? Think of it like the tail of a kite. Right? Your hand is just following, it's just being pulled along, like the end of a blanket that you're dragging along with you, or a scarf. Yeah, just let your hand just be pulled. And then when you bring your arm back up, let your hand and your forearm be pushed. So it's just your elbow, you bring your elbow down a little bit and you bring it back. What happens with your breathing when you do that? So come back to the beginning position. I asked you if you were comfortable. Right? What's your measure of comfort? How do you measure that? I mean, there's discomfort, right? So discomfort could be not being uncomfortable. That would be the beginning of a measure of comfort, right? It's just not being uncomfortable. But is that really comfort? Right? I mean, do you want your dinner guest to say, well, that didn't taste terrible. The bed last night wasn't horrible. Your company isn't so bad. Really? What is comfort if not the absence of discomfort? What's your measure? What's your measure in your breath? How does your breathing change when you're less comfortable? How does it change when you're more comfortable? What's a feeling in your limbs of comfort, of ease? Not the absence of discomfort or strain or pain, but what does comfort and pleasure feel like? What is easiness? And what about in your face? Right? If somebody says, oh, I'm really comfortable now, right? It's hard to believe them. Is your face comfortable? What happens with your forehead and the muscles around your eyes? Do babies knit their brows? Do they? You know, do they make that
that look. That's certainly not comfort. What happens with your tongue, your lips, the space inside your mouth and your throat when you're comfortable, when you're easy? And now, with one arm, just begin to slide your elbow down. Find out if you can feel comfortable and make that motion. You breathe in a comfortable way. Your face stays easy. And what if that's the limitation? What if you only move as far as you can keep that sense of ease? Like, this is good. Can you do that with the other arm? It's a different one side than the other. And look, it's not about how far. Here, size does not matter. Distance does not matter. Comfort matters. So however little you can do, that's fine. If it's just barely beginning to think about starting to move, that's as far as you go, then go that far. Alright. And bring your arms down. Put your legs somewhere normal-ish, if you like, and take a rest. Learning doesn't happen on a schedule. I remember teaching a workshop on developmental movement in Austria and in Innsbruck. And it was right after, this is maybe 20, 25 years ago, it was right after the Austrian government had published this little pamphlet for parents that talked about normal development. And I had a friend who was in a workshop who was a pediatric physician, a doctor for children. And within weeks of that, right, her phone was ringing off the hook. Is it? Parents were calling up and saying, but it's week number, and my kid's not doing this. There's something wrong with them. You know. There is no schedule. And yet it happens. Right? It happens because of development on the inside and because of challenges on the outside. Come back to that position. And now, begin to move your right knee towards your right elbow. Just a little bit. So it's just your arm stays where it is, and your knee comes up. Your leg doesn't lift from the floor. And it's not taking your knee away from the floor. It's bringing your knee up towards your elbow. So you're sliding your leg and letting your leg be heavy, and just bending your knee a little bit.
Door, someone's
knocking on the door. Thank you.
Move on.
I tell you what happens. Where do you engage to do that?
I don't know.
What happens to your back when you do it? Like, how does the pressure on the back of your backside change? when you're moving. And stop for a moment. Come back and just do the bare beginning of the action, right? But you move first, your knee or your foot. If your right foot is moving towards your left leg, that's not moving your knee. Your knee moves and your leg is being dragged. It's just, it's like you're pulling your pant leg, right? If you pull the knee of your pant leg, the bottom of your pants will fall off. Let your leg just move that way. Let it just pull it by your knee. Like your foot is too far away for you to send a message to move. The message just gets to the knee. And your foot slides along the floor. And then when you come back, as your knee returns, it pushes your lower leg, and your lower leg pushes your foot. Now that wouldn't happen with an empty pant leg, right? Because your leg would just kind of probably fold up. What happens with your breathing when you move? Can you feel your arms and move your knee? What do you do with your tongue? Is your tongue pressing against the top of your mouth or the back of your teeth? Is it between your teeth or in front of your teeth? Pressing at the bottom of your mouth? Can you leave your tongue be soft and easy? Can you think of your tongue like a sponge sitting in the sink, which is a little wet and just absorbing the water, just absorbing saliva in your tongue, just resting there as you move your leg? Breathing as if you were comfortable, without disturbing your comfort. Beautiful. And now can you bring your right elbow and your right knee together? It towards each other, not touching. So just do both movements. Your knee sliding down, your knee sliding up towards your elbow, your foot's coming along for the right. Your elbow sliding down towards your knee, your arm coming along for the ride. Does your head move? Do you turn to look in that direction or in the other direction? It doesn't have to be a big movement. Do you notice the bare beginning of that motion? Remember, you're doing this in that sleepy, easy, lazy way. In that comfortable way. What's the way to do this action without disrupting your comfort? And look, some of you, I think you get a little bit less comfortable, and you know that, and you're doing it anyway. Don't worry, I'm talking about the person next to you. Can you respect your comfort a little more? So maybe you don't go so far. Who cares? There's no schedule. There's nowhere to go. Just do a little bit. Just the bare beginning. Like barely, so someone could hardly notice that you're starting and maintaining that sense of ease. Good. And then stop and rest again. And resting here is just, you know, it's like being in a fancy restaurant and getting a little sorbet between the dishes, just to clear your palate. It's not to recover from the exhaustion of motion, of the action. And since you're maintaining your comfort is not to recover from the discomfort of doing something.
What's it like to do this simple action? At this point, you have no comparison. You don't have any idea about how you should be moving or what you should be doing.
Right? It's not like, okay, when does the good stuff happen? When do we get to the important things?
This is it. Would you please press your lips together and then stop pressing them? So very gently, just press your lips together and stop pressing them. And notice how you do that. You press more on the right side or the left side, or more in the middle, or evenly throughout. When you press your lips together, do your lips push out or pull in? What do you do with your tongue and your throat? What do you do with the muscles around your eyes and your forehead? Does something happen in the back of your neck or behind your breastbone when you press your lips together? Can you make this action take 3 times as long? So it's very gradual, gradually increasing the pressure and gradually decreasing the pressure. When you press your lips together, do you stay comfortable or is that part of not being comfortable? Leave that alone. And now slowly, can you pull your lower lip over your lower teeth? Can you pull your lower lip over the lower teeth? So the upper lip doesn't move. Your jaw didn't move because you have to open your mouth, right? And then let that take 3 times as long. Especially the returning. Slowly pull your lip over the teeth and then fully return. And stop. Rest a moment. Is that little action related to some change in your sense of yourself, your feelings? Can you feel the floor? Does it change your breathing? Now try the compliment. Can you pull your upper lip over your other teeth by itself? So you should just ask people to do this in the next week. Because it is really funny when people get to this point. Well, what? Wait, I know what you mean. Well, but my lower lip moves too, doesn't it? Is it easy to distinguish your upper lip from your lower lip here? How weird. I mean, how come you didn't know that about yourself? Okay, Anna, could you do that with both lips? Just pull both lips over your teeth together. And come back. Slowly, easily, gently. So you pull your lips in. You know, it's a funny movement. You don't do it very often. As a grown-up, maybe if you want to pretend that you don't have teeth, we might do that in regular practice, right? Can you do that? Just... Keep your lips pulled in
and live your God again in the park. You do it slowly or quickly.
What happens with your breathing? With the muscles of your face? With the sense in your chest, does it get open or closed? With what happens in your belly, your lower belly, inside your groin? And stop. Take a moment to sense yourself on the floor. Did you lose track of the rest of yourself when you were moving your lips and your mouth? Did you feel your feet on the floor and your pelvis? Your breathing? Do the action again of pulling your lips over your teeth slowly and letting them return. Find out if you can attend to the feeling of your whole self resting on the floor and feel your lips moving at the same time. Feel your lips moving, your contact with the floor, and the tide of your breath going in and going out. Leave that alone. Come to that position that you were in before with your arms on the other side of your head. Your knees bent a little bit, just a teeny bit is fine. And now begin to bring your right leg and your left leg together. Sense what happens with your lip and your mouth. What do you do there, even if you're not doing anything on purpose? What happens with your tongue and your throat? You bring your knee and your elbow together and you let them go apart. Then leave that alone and begin to move your left elbow down a little bit, easily, gently. Notice what happens with your face, your eyes, the muscles around your forehead, your lips, your tongue, your jaw, your throat, your neck, your chest, your belly, your legs, your other arm. As your left elbow comes down towards your left knee a little bit, and returns. You know, infants don't talk to themselves. They don't think about what happened earlier or what's going to happen later. This is their world, rich in sensation. And then leave your arm alone and begin to slide your left knee towards your left elbow a little bit. What happens to the rest of you? Do other parts of you begin to get engaged? Do you contract somewhere else? The other arm, the other leg? What happens with your lips and your mouth, your throat? Can you be comfortable? And do this movement, you're not bending your knee, you're pulling your knee up toward you. Just pulling your knee up towards you, you're, in a way, you're, that the muscles that do that are not the muscles of your leg. and the muscles that connect your leg to your trunk. So everything in your leg can be really relaxed. Your leg's going to be heavy. If your leg's not heavy, there's something wrong. If you feel your toes or your lower leg or even your thigh engage, you're being a grown-up. Let your leg be pulled up. What's it like to bring your knee towards you and not do any work in your leg? The absolute minimum. Good. Stop for a moment and lift your back away from the floor a little. Whatever that means, your pelvis stays on the floor, your chest stays on the floor, lift your back a little, come back. You just lift your back away from the floor. And notice that changes the pressure in other places. If you arch your back, right? If you lift somewhere, where do you lift? Between your shoulders, below your shoulders, bottom of your rib cage, your lower back. How do you lift your back? And when you lift, what presses? Your shoulders, your elbows, your head, your hands, your pelvis, your knees, your feet, your heels? Do you press more at the top of yourself or at the bottom of yourself when you arch your back? Don't go all the way, just lift a little bit. Now the next time you lift, stay there for a moment. Is that comfortable? Can you stay with your back a little bit arched and be comfortable? Or maybe it's more comfortable than when it's not arched. What is it like for you? Do you breathe more in your belly when your back is arched or more in your chest? I don't mean just the front, the sides, the back of your chest, your lower back. Up or above. What happens when you let go of your back arched? And now slowly as you possibly can, like an ice cube melting, right? Slowly let your back come down to the floor. Just to where it was, back towards the floor. And then lift it again easily, just with that same sense of ease, of meltiness, of not being rushed. Arch your back very gradually. Feel the shifting sands of pressure behind you. And then unarch your back. Let it relax, let it come down. Let it move backwards. Find out if you can do this action of arching really slowly without holding your breath. Find out if there's a point where you cross the edge where it becomes less comfortable. Maybe not uncomfortable or unpleasant, but just no longer easy. Or maybe there's a point where it becomes comfortable when you arch. Is there a boundary? In which direction do you go? What happens with your face, with your lips, with your tongue, with your throat? When you arch your back and when you let it go. Stop for a moment. Pull your lips over your teeth again and hold them there. And now arch your back and let it go. Holding your lips like this. Slowly. How does it change to hold your lips, your mouth, your face in that way? What happens with your back, with your belly, with your breathing, with the way you notice yourself and with what you notice? And then let your lips relax, let them go. Keep doing the movement with your back. How does it change?
Good. Stop and rest, please. In this position or another one? Take a moment to think about, to reflect on what you were saying to yourself as I was asking you these different questions about what you notice and giving you these different suggestions about how to move. Were you evaluating my directions or your reactions or what you noticed or how you felt? Did they bring you back to a time before? Were you thinking ahead, or could you stay here with your sensations? Was the conversation helpful? If you think back, was it your voice or someone else's? Where did you hear it? In your head or outside yourself? On what side of your head or outside yourself? And come back to that position. And now begin to bring your left knee and your left elbow together. And notice what happens with your back. Do you arch your back before or during that action? Is it in concert with that action? Does it go with it? Does it help it, support it? Does it interfere, the arching of your back? If you arch your back when you bring your knee and your elbow together or when you bring them apart, do you unarch it when you go the other way? Or do you stay stuck, arched? When you bring your left knee and your left elbow together, do you arch more on the left side or the right side? Do you do it when the elbow and knee come together or when they move apart? Or maybe you don't do it at all and you wonder why I'm asking. And now bring both knees and both elbows together. So you bring the left elbow and the right elbow down and the right knee and the left knee up. Think about your elbows and your knees coming together, your arms and your legs being dry. Notice what happens between your chest and your pelvis. Does your back move towards the floor now or away? Or maybe it doesn't do anything. Maybe your arms move, your legs move, and your head and your pelvis and your chest are just sitting there, having nothing to do with the action of your lips. What do you do with your lips, with your tongue, with your mouth? Does the air go in your nose or your mouth or both? How does it come out again? Can you do this as if comfort was the most important thing, the only important thing? As if it was the priority. Good stuff. Bring your legs and your arms to somewhere comfortable. And now begin to move your tongue to touch your lip. So you slowly slide your tongue between your lips and come back. Slowly, slowly, really, really slowly. And notice when your tongue moves, whether it gets tight. Whether it gets tight, maybe it's tight before you start. Or maybe it tightens when you move. You make your tongue hard and tight. Can come back and have that feeling of your tongue like a sponge. Full and soft. You know, have you ever taken a dry sponge and put it in a wet sink and see how it changes? Imagine your tongue like that, soft and full. Can you move your tongue, just not very far, you're not sticking it out, just barely coming between your lips. And coming back and staying with that kind of fullness and fatness and softness. Don't think about the tip of your tongue. It's kind of like when you were moving your arms or your leg. You know, think about your knee, not your foot. Think about the back of your tongue and not the tip of your tongue. So you keep your tongue thick and push it from the back, from your throat, towards your lips and slowly, softly between your lips. And then come back with that same hotness, that same ease. Good. Take a moment to notice how you're resting on the floor. What your sense of yourself is. How is it to apprehend, to capture, to contain the sensations within yourself, of yourself with the floor, of your clothes on you? Is it possible to have that kind of open and soft attention where you feel the front and the back of yourself? You feel your mouth and your breathing, your limbs, your trunk and your head. What would it be like to have that fullness of sensation of yourself, of your inside, of your comfort, and be in the world? Well, let's find out. Would you please roll by way of one of your sides? Slowly, really take your time, that same kind of lazy, easy, comfortable movement. Come to sitting. When you're ready, come to standing. No, actually, come to sitting. Don't stand up right away. In sitting, close your eyes and find out, can you do that same thing with your tongue? Try to do a tongue that's thick and full. And let it come between your lips a little bit. And then let it come back. What happens with your face and with your breath when your tongue is like that? Do you have evaluation of feeling, a judgment about that feeling, about how you might look if you can do that? Good. And then when you're ready,
can you keep that feeling in your tongue and come up to sitting?
I mean, come up from sitting to standing. So. And now I'm standing, can you do that same thing with your tongue? And
And now, just for the fun of it, during lunch, would you take some time and lift up my tongue like this? You know, you put a few minutes, you just eat your tongue out and flop, and you pop at the same time. And I know it's going to be simple for you. So let's see if you can do it.
All right. It's 1 o'clock. We're not giving FIs today, so we'll come back at 1:30.
No, 2:30. Thank you. Just checking if you're paying attention or not. Yeah. Rule number one, everybody who works for me is always check the boss's numbers. I calculate fast, but not ready.